Well, we are in this incredible conversation today talking about eating, and most people I know love to eat, right? Simple statement that is almost always true, but some people actually eat for a living. Did you know this, right? There's actually competitive eating. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of competitive eating before. It's an interesting thing, right? It's considered by many to be, in fact, a real sport, competitive eating, and it's totally gross. It's disgusting. It is not fun to watch in any way, but there is such a thing as competitive eating. Every 4th of July, ESPN, the sports network that some of you have seen before probably, they show the National Hot Dog Eating Championship. You've seen this before. Maybe you've engaged it. Probably you've recorded it on your VCR, right? Because that's what we like to do. That was a little old school joke right there. The National Hot Dog Eating Championship, and it's held at Coney Island every year. I think they just moved it this last year. But does anybody know the name of the reigning champ of the National Hot Dog Competitive? Does anybody know it? Joey Chestnut. Check this out. There he is. Joey Chestnut, all right? Now, this guy, Joey Chestnut, holds the world record. There is a world record for hot dog eating championship, okay? And he holds it. It's 76 HBDs. HBDs, which stands for hot dogs and buns. And it's disgusting. He's got the world record. It's a 10-minute competition. 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. And you know what they do is they take the hot dog and bun, they dip it in water, and they scarf it down. It is totally gross. Listen to this. That is over 20,000 calories. That's over 1,100 grams of fat. That's over 680, that's 684 grams of protein, 1,900 milligrams of cholesterol, and over 50,000 milligrams of sodium in 10 minutes. It's totally gross. But it's gross. It's also big business, right? There are national eating associations, and there's an international federation of eating, and there's significant prize money and endorsement contracts. I mean, here we are talking about Joey Chestnut on a Sunday morning, right? It's big business, and on the 4th of July, of course, they make a ton of it. Now, you would wonder if Tums and Pepto-Bismol are the primary sponsors of this thing, and they might be. We're actually not going to talk about competitive eating much more today. That's not really the goal, but we are going to talk about another very specific and particular kind of eating. And so if you're new to our church before, if you're just coming back from being on a trip, we just want to catch you up a little bit. We are in the middle, actually the beginning of a series that we're calling This Is Us. And this series actually has the potential to be a very long series for us. And it's a series in which we're unpacking our brand new mission, vision, and value statement. And here's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to spend the month of March talking about our mission statement, which I'll talk about more in a minute. We're going to break for Palm Sunday and Easter, Holy Week. And then we're going to come back to our This Is Us series and finish out the school year on it. When summer starts, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to focus on the parables of Jesus throughout summer. And then in the fall, when we kick school back off, we're going to come back to our This Is Us series. And this is why we do this. New City Covenant Church is in a pivotal moment of revisioning, remission, getting our mission out in front of us. And we need to preach through this and look at Scripture's call for why we are in this. So this is us. This is who we are as a congregation. And this month has all been about our mission, which says we exist, New City exists, to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. And in order to do that, we've been discussing so far this month these key missional practices that we see in the life of Christ. And we've let those stories unfold for us and inform our lives, these missional practices. And they actually make up the word bless, which you see this wonderful display behind me. And the word bless is not some generic religious word like God bless you, which is very important to say, but it's not really what we're talking about this month. It comes from God's original call to his people, us, that we are meant not just to be recipients of God's blessing, that we are blessed to be dispensers of God's blessing in the world as well. That's the idea. And each letter of BLESS stands for a different way to go about blessing the world. And so in week number one, we started with the B, and it stands for begin with prayer. Asking God at the beginning of each day, God, how do you want me to bless your world today? And in week one, we looked at the ministry of Jesus and how he always began his ministry with prayer. The L that we talked about last week stands for listen, that we are called to the very countercultural practice of listening in a world where nobody listens to anyone anymore. And we live in a places where we work and in our families, we listen to people to be a blessing to them. We listen for what's in their lives right now. We listen for their location. And we follow Jesus' example of listening to people well, to be a blessing to them. This is a missional practice. And today, as you've already probably assumed, the letter E then stands for eat together. And here's why we talk about this. Because Jesus was a missional eater. Jesus was a missional eater. Missional eating is an interesting thing. How many of you have ever heard a message preached about eating before, right? It's not my first time, but it's certainly a unique message. We don't often talk about what it looks like to eating. So I want you to think about this for a minute. When I ask you the question in your mind, when I ask you about what did Jesus do, when we think about the things that he did in this world, we oftentimes think about the great teaching that he gave, the Sermon on the Mount. We think about these important times where Jesus taught these significant truths about God and the character of God. We think of the miracles that Jesus was all about, right? It's not always that we think about the meals that Jesus shared, right? We might think about the loaves and fishes story, but we think about the miraculous part about that rather than the hospitality side of eating. Jesus was always eating with people because it disarmed them. It created an opportunity for him to be missional and bless them. And as we read our scripture earlier, and maybe Jeff, we won't pull that up. You can pull it up and put it on the screen next if you want, Matthew 9. But as Jamie read our scripture today, we see this story unfold with Jesus calling Matthew, a tax collector, to a meal. So Jesus there in Matthew chapter 9, let's unpack the scripture a bit, is walking along. And he sees this tax collector, Matthew, in his tax collector's booth, which was like his office in the day. And Jesus walks up to Matthew, and he says these two life-changing words that would change Matthew's life forever, and probably is true of us as well. Jesus says, "Follow me." And as we talked about before here at New City, and I'm sure you've heard in churches that you've attended before, tax collectors in Jesus' day were considered literally the scum of the earth. They were the lowest of the lows. They were despised above all others. Tax collectors were mostly local Jewish, let's call them lackeys for the Roman government, the Roman Empire. And so right out of the gate, they were considered traitors. That's what tax collectors were known for. Plus, to get their salary, they had to gouge people for as much money as they could to get whatever financial means that they could. And so they were often thought of as corrupt. Tax collectors were corrupt. And if we want to have like a modern day example, I thought of a number of names I could mention, but I decided not to go there. But if you could think of the worst political criminal that you would have an idea about, tax collectors in Jesus' day made them look like Mr. Rogers. That was the public perception, at least, of tax collectors. So Jesus calls, and it's so important for us to think about this, especially in the world we live in today, one of the most despised, looked down on people to be his disciple. And it was shocking that Jesus would say to this despised person, "Follow me." And notice the first thing that Jesus did after Matthew said yes, which was a big step, right? To follow me. Jesus, number one, didn't have him take a class on how to be a disciple. He didn't ask Matthew to start studying his Bible and memorizing scripture, something that Matthew probably would have done in his life already. But what he did first was he went to Matthew's house to eat, shared a meal with him. And as we look at this story, we wonder, who else did Jesus eat with? Even more tax collectors, along with a whole group of people referred to in this scripture as the word sinners. Now, a quick side note about that word sinners. When Jamie read that earlier, you might have thought, oh, that's an interesting word. Sinners here in Matthew chapter 9 doesn't mean that some people are sinners and others aren't sinners, right? That's not exactly what it means. The term sinner in Jesus' day was a catch-all category term for anybody who was not religious or who was involved in illicit lifestyles like prostitution or different things that were despised, like tax collectors. So here's Jesus, this esteemed rabbi, this holy man that people are following, and he is eating, spending time with people who were the most despised and looked down on people. Literally, the who's who of the socially unacceptable and the leaders of the religious establishment were irate. This was scandalous. Holy people simply do not associate with those kind of people. Now, in Jesus' day, and dare I say, a little bit in our day, but maybe not in the same way, eating in those days was central to life. And I'm not sure those of us who buy fast food 3 times a week, maybe, driving our kids from one place to the other, and say, hey, I ate a meal today, which was basically a McDonald's cheeseburger, can really say that we understand the gravity of what it was like to have table fellowship back in Jesus' day. I'm not sure that we can totally get it. And when I mean it was very significant, I don't just mean in the physically sustenance way. In fact, eating with someone in Jesus' day was a statement, it was a public statement that you wanted to be associated with them. Eating with someone was an affirmation of that person's value and worth. Think of that in the context of Matthew the tax collector, that Jesus was ascribing to this person value and worth. Who you ate with was a statement of who you loved and cherished and considered part of your social class, which of course we deal with in our world today, but not to the degree that they dealt with in Jesus' day. So Jesus is actually communicating a lot through this seemingly mundane act of eating at Matthew's house with him and his socially outcast friends. So of course the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, these were the religious elites. They're incredibly offended by Jesus eating at Matthew's house. And so they start to go to his disciples, these followers of Jesus, right? Almost behind Jesus' back. And they say to him, why is Jesus doing this? And Jesus overhears them and he replies. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now what Jesus is not saying, and this is important, to the Pharisees, that they were healthy, that they were good people who didn't need a doctor, and that the people that he's eating with are messed up. Jesus was saying that he was on a mission with his life, and that these Pharisees, they didn't get it. And when he says, go and learn what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, he was quoting the Old Testament, which the Pharisees were famous for having memorized. They knew the Old Testament front and back. And Jesus' primary indictment with them is that they didn't live it out, that they knew the scripture, that they knew what these things meant, but their lives didn't produce the fruit from the text. Jesus is saying, you know what God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, but you don't really know what it means. Or if you do, you don't live it out. These were words God had spoken to his people who'd become meticulous about performing religious rituals. They had a way of living. And at the same time, they neglected the poor. They neglected the vulnerable. They neglected the marginalized. Jesus isn't saying to the Pharisees that they're righteous who don't need a doctor. He's saying you need to live out all the stuff that you're so well known for having memorized. And one other thing, the tension and the conflict that Jesus dealt with in the Pharisees over who Jesus ate with, who he spent time with, it was not an isolated incident in Scripture. We see in Luke chapter 7 another example when it said this, Jesus said this, the Son of Man came, I'm sorry, in Luke 7 it says this, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Jesus wasn't a drunk, and he wasn't a glutton. But he was so frequently eating with people who were that he oftentimes got accused of it. What we have seen in Jesus' life is that eating was not something he did because he had to eat. Eating was an integral part of his mission of reaching and restoring the world, of inspiring people towards God. Jesus was a missional eater. What a great title. And for us, to live out the Jesus mission by blessing the world, E stands for eat. And it's all about forming relationships with people where we live and work that go beyond small talk, coffee, water cooler talk, occasional conversations, and moving towards a significant opportunity of relationship, of actually eating with people. I read a quote one time that talked about this in a book called Right Here, Right Now. Maybe some of you have seen that book in the past. And it said that sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality, what a phrase that is, by the way, is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. To extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. If every Christian household, everyone in, let's just call it Edina and the surrounding communities, regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating together. Changing the world by eating. I love that, and I think they're right. Imagine what would happen if every Christ follower at New City, the 70 to 100 of us that attend this church, who call this church home, if we started regularly eating with our neighbors and our co-workers and our friends who don't know Jesus. I guarantee if that's a priority to us, we would see life change happens. If we're going to bless the world, then we've got to eat with the world. Eating with people is absolutely essential to blessing the world. God has designed us in such a way that eating is not just a biological necessity, it is also a social and relational thing, and eating is a great way to bless the world. Now, it's possible that you might be thinking of some obstacles, right? We often do. I do, quite often. Think of obstacles to missional eating, right? I know you love this, I know you value this, but it's human nature to think about different obstacles. Well, this sounds well and good, but I'm not sure that it's that simple. We all have our buts, right? Our but, I'm not sure I can do that. Like, for example, the first but I can think of is I don't have time. As a father with four kids and a busy life with those kids, I can understand that dynamic. But I don't have time. Many of us can barely find time to eat meals with our families, right? We're all so busy. Things are crazy. Life is crazy. It's difficult to even get our own family in the house, right? And we maybe eat, like I said, a fast food meal once a week, and that's what we call family time. I do get it. Finding time to eat with people can seem like a very unpredictable practice. But what if maybe, just maybe, this call of Jesus to missional eating is the thing that finally gets us to the tipping point where we realize that we've got to start managing our time differently and prioritize this opportunity to bless the world, because we've been blessed, like God wants us to do. Missional eating doesn't have to just be one more thing to cram into our already slammed schedules. It can actually become a part of our regular and healthy rhythms of our lives. We just have to be willing to shift our lives to include those regular rhythms, like slowing down enough to eat a good meal with somebody like our neighbor. Maybe another but that you might think of is, but I wouldn't know what to say if we invited people in our homes. Or, I don't really want to take the time to make anybody uncomfortable, especially me. I get that. I realize that depending on how you are personally wired, being social and talking over a meal with somebody may not that you maybe don't know very well might be kind of uncomfortable. Might even seem daunting, like a mountain you can't overcome. But I believe personality and temperament don't need to call the shots on this. God has called us all to bless the world, and He will give us all the ability to do that. And part of how we bless the world is by going beyond the surface relationships with our neighbors, with our coworkers, by those people in our lives who have legitimate needs and need Jesus. We've talked about this so many times, I don't mind saying again. Everyone in our lives who tried to give us this great perspective that my life is great, I've got it all together, they need Jesus. Every person's dealing with different insecurities, different pains, different frustrations, different family dynamics. There's baggage in our lives. We need Jesus. And there's something so beautifully disarming about table fellowship. E is for eat. I realize that there's other potential buts that we might put out there, but I don't really like to have people in my home, but I can't cook, but I don't have time to clean up, so this place is not fit for guests. I don't really want to fix a fancy meal, but let me just respond to these quickly for the sake of time. If you don't like having people in your home, fine. Go out to eat. Buy the meal if you can. Don't like to cook? Then order in. We did Friday night. Ordered in Chinese food. It was delicious. Order in. But you don't have time to clean up or have to fix a nice meal? Ask someone in your family to clean your house. Ask somebody else to make the meal. There's solutions to our obstacles, these barriers that keep us from being a missional eater. Now, when I think about this message, it's interesting to me because this church, New City, and if you're new to our church here, we'll give you a little history. New City started in roughly 2010, and it was built around the beautiful foundation of sharing a meal together, table fellowship. In fact, every single Sunday, just about every single Sunday, we gather together after worship for what you heard Jamie talk about. It's called Soul Food. And we invite you to come downstairs. By the way, Kristen, it smelled delicious this morning when we walked into church today. We invite you to come down for a meal downstairs. It's part of the DNA of what we do here. We believe that there's something beautiful about sharing our lives together at the table. But it's also incredibly comfortable, right? It's incredibly comfortable to come to church and share the meal here. It is far more risky and at times difficult to actually invite people into our home. And so what we do here is a beautiful example of what could be in our lives out there, especially when we think of those in our lives that may be far from the Lord. So New City is a great example of what that looks like. Eating with someone does something that nothing else does. I know there are a ton of reasons that can make it difficult and uncomfortable, but I believe it is totally worth pushing through our excuses and getting out of our comfort zones so that we can discover our mission for our lives by allowing God to bless others through eating. And please don't forget what's at stake here. We're talking about blessing the world and helping accomplish God's ultimate mission for our world. It is helping inspire people to find and follow Jesus. And for some of you, as you take part in this challenge, this missional challenge that I'm ushering to this church this month of eating, you will discover that you have the gift of hospitality. Maybe an untapped gift that you never actually used before, but when you invite somebody into your home, it starts to blossom, it starts to bloom into a beautiful gift of hospitality. Maybe you didn't even know you had it before, but you'll be able to touch more lives by having folks in your home and at your table. You're going to find that helping others eat their way into the kingdom of God is a gift to you, and it is certainly a gift to them. And here's the real question, and this is sort of the application of the day. If you knew that the only thing standing between you and that person in your life who rejects the Lord, doesn't have a relationship with God, maybe has some baggage with the church, whatever their story is. If you knew that the only thing standing between your coworker, your family member, or whoever it is, to a relationship with Jesus was eating with them, wouldn't you do it? Wouldn't you be uncomfortable and make it happen because you knew that it could be an on-ramp to them finding and follow Jesus? Remember, these missional practices are never about us. They're never about our glory. They're never for us to be propped up or for the church to become famous. It is always and only about God, giving God the glory. God has given you and me the mission of blessing the world. Will we rise to the call on our lives to bless people? And remember, this is the beauty of being in congregation together and church together, is we don't have to do it alone. We encourage everybody at New City to be in small groups, because we believe that we were never meant to pursue this mission alone, never meant to go at it solo. What if your small group had a conversation and said, hey, let's get together this coming spring when the snow is gone. Lord, may it be soon, right? And let's get out there in the parks or maybe even do it here on the church ground somewhere. And let's invite our coworkers to join our small group. Let's not even talk about the Bible. Let's not make it a church gathering, but let's make it an inclusive gathering to our coworkers and our friends and invite them in to experience the fellowship of this community. That's the power of building a bridge of eating together. You'll find that every missional practice of blessing the world will be much easier, more fun, more rewarding, and frankly, more impactful when we don't go at it alone, when we do it together. We have a great calling on our lives to bless the world as we have been blessed. People will find their way back to God. Broken and lost parts of the life God intended human beings will be restored. People will be inspired to follow and to find Jesus. And this is our missional strategy, that we eat together. And in eating together, we are blessing the world. We begin with prayer. We lead with listening. And we lean in to eating together. Now, earlier this month, I asked you to take the little prayer cards or the little bookmarks that we have back there in the entryway and asked you to write down a few names on those of people in your lives that you are praying for. Maybe one or two names. People in your lives who don't have a relationship with Jesus that you want to ask God to do the miraculous, right? And to use these missional practices to get after it. So we've talked about three now. We still have two to go. And next week, Pastor Carrie J. Cott will be back, and she's going to be preaching for us on Sunday. I can't wait to have her here. And she's going to be talking about the first S. I'll save the information for that next week. But I want to challenge you to think about these missional practices, whether you're in high school, whether you have a job, whether you're retired, wherever life stage you're in, there are people in your lives that you can be praying for, that you can sit in an intentional space to listen to, and that you can invite in to eat with. This is all about inspiring people to find and follow Jesus. What a journey. What an exciting opportunity. Let this not become just a mundane thing that we talk about, but actually how we actively participate in the mission of God to the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may be true in New City and in our lives individually. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? God, we love you and we thank you so much for the calling of what it looks like to be us. This is us, God. We are missional people. We are people that humbly come before you and in the name of Jesus try to reach our friends, our family members, even people we don't even know. And we offer them this incredible love, this unconditional love that we sing about, that we celebrate, that we read in your word, and we point them to you, Jesus. And God, maybe there's somebody in our lives that this week we can invite out to coffee. Or invite over for, I don't know, a piece of pie. Or something delicious to drink together, God. Or some sort of just honest place where you can sit in our spaces together in our homes and share our lives together. How can I bless you? Father, I pray that you would put those people on our minds and our hearts and that, God, you would give us an opportunity to bless your world. It would never be about us, but it would always be about you. And may New City be a church, God, that is always known as a church, as blessing people. Thank you for the call that somebody had many years ago at this church to build our congregation around table fellowship. God, I believe this is what the world needs. There's something very disarming about the table. A place where we don't come to debate things. It's a place where we don't come to decide who's right and wrong, but a place where we come to share life together. So Father, make that a staple in our church and in our lives. And may we see new life in Jesus come through it. We pray, Father, that these missional practices would inform our lives, that they would challenge us to become more of who you're calling us to be. Help us to put aside the buts and help us to step forward into your life, God, that you've called us to. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing and close our service together.